Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Ollie radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Well, when it comes to watering, we talked about it in the first segment. Watering is an important aspect whether you're growing vegetables, shrubs, or trees, and Tree Diaper has the device in which will make your watering so much easier.
If your plants could talk to you, they would have a few complaints about not being properly watered, either too much or too little. How do you water properly? Take the guesswork out by using the Tree Diaper. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that stabilizes soil moisture by taking up excess water and slowly releases it when plants need it. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, check out all sizes they have available. That's treediaper.com. They'll keep your plants happy. That's treediaper.com.
Well, let's talk about watering. We talked about watering there, but life under the soil. Many people may not understand or realize the magnitude of activity that goes on underneath just a few inches of the soil in your garden, Holly.
Right. So many people just refer to soil as dirt.
It's dirt.
It's dirt. Actually, what?
Yeah, our niece.
Yeah. What's that big pile of dirt?
No, she knows it's not dirt.
Oh, yeah, she knows it's not dirt.
She's 10 years old. We had compost delivered in the Milwaukee market here. Blue Ribbon Organics delivered us. We purchased 7 yards of compost from them. And our niece was like, when's the dirt going to come? Oh, I know it's not dirt.
Yeah, I said, you know it's not dirt. She's like, I know it's not dirt, you know, in her little 10-year-old.
Yeah, nothing's wrong in the world, boys.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's millions and billions of things going on literally underneath the soil in your garden.
Right. So just to keep in mind, it is a living thing, and that's very important to know because
not all soil is living, but the garden soil that we should be growing in should be living.
Right. We don't know what the soil in the back 40 of right. some old lot might be doing, but in our garden, you want to be living. So an average soil sample is about 45% minerals, 25% water, 25% air, and 5% organic matter. Now, you can increase or decrease that organic matter based on what you choose to do, but it's just good to keep in mind what's in your soil. So mostly it's like it's sand, silt, clay, air, water, minerals, and organic matter. And then there's also animals
right.
in it. So that includes things like worms and then also earthworms, grubs, centipedes, millipedes, snails, slugs, beetles, ants, fungi, insect larvae, bacteria, mushrooms, and many other organisms. So there's even just tiny little decomposers that we could probably never see.
And you may be looking, you'll hear that list and go, well, not all of those are good things. I don't want snails in my garden. I don't want, you know, beetles in my garden or ants. This is a harmony. There's good bugs and bad bugs. And by having a balanced ecosystem in your garden, they will keep each other in check.
Right. So that's a few things in there. But I think the biggest thing we can talk about is worms. So if you have a lot of worms in your soil, it's very healthy. And worms can produce up to a third of one worm can reproduce one third pound of worm castings per year. So that's just one worm.
That's their bathroom product. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep it clean, but okay.
Well,
yeah.
Just got to keep it real. Yeah.
But one third per year. Now, that's the benefit, and you can buy worm castings. Worm castings have a phenomenal property in them in which whenever fed to plants or plants are grown in, this property is picked up by the plants. And aphids are the tick of the plant world, and aphids like to suck the juice out of plants and stress them out and potentially kill them. So what this property is doing inside of the plants that the worm castings are fed to, it gets ingested into the aphid, and this property causes the aphid to dissolve from the inside out, killing it. So nature keeping things in check.
Yeah, it's just a balance of the ecosystem that you hopefully have a balanced ecosystem in your backyard.
But what if you don't have worms? What do you do?
I was just going to talk about that. So if you don't have worms, one thing you can do is you can add...
Don't go down to Jack's Bait Shop and get some.
Right. So one thing you can do is you can add organic matter to your soil, whether that be your own compost, other compost, coffee grounds, mix those in. banana peels, what have you, kitchen scraps, things like that. And that what will happen is the worms will realize, hey, there's food here, and they will come into your garden, and then they'll make their home there. If you go down to Jack's Bait Shop or the local gas station with their worms, you are introducing worms from a foreign ecosystem. Even if you think that they're local worms, you're still introducing worms from a foreign ecosystem, and that could cause problems.
And these worms aren't going to survive anyway.
No,
they're
a lot
not
of times
designed.
They don't.
Worms are designed to go catch fish, not work through
fishing,
your soil. Yeah,
fishing
worms, right?
Yeah, so that's something to definitely keep in mind. And then also, there's a lot of things that
and people are like, well, how does worms know that something's there? Worms will travel very long distances, and they can go very deep as well, up
that's
to 8 feet.
Yeah, that's another thing is they're going 8 feet down into underneath your garden beds and mixing all of that stuff around and just help fertilizing your soil, essentially. So another thing that is amazing about earthworms is that they do shred that. They shred the organic matter. They eat the organic matter and they poop it out. And the same thing happens with millipedes and centipedes.
These are the ones with the creepy, crawly, multiple legs that people are like, ugh. But that you got to leave them alone.
Right. And beetles, too. Yeah. Now, if you have some sort of beetle that's harmful above the ground.
Like the potato beetle.
Like the potato beetle. That's different. These are like earth beetles.
Yeah. These are the good guys.
Yeah. So you want to, if you see the earth beetles crawling around, you want to leave
them
alone.
Walk away, cringe, and let them do their thing.
Right. Same thing with centipedes. I think centipedes and millipedes are the most disgusting things on this earth, and I don't want to think about them, but I'm happy that they're in my garden.
Okay.
And then mushrooms or fungi, those grow out of the mushrooms grow out of the ground. Fungi, other types of fungi grows below the ground. But if you see mushrooms, don't think it's a bad thing. Definitely don't eat them. Don't let your dog eat them or your children or your cat or your pet bunny, whatever. Because
they're good for poisonous. The soil, but bad for everything else.
Right. And sometimes they're just going to grow naturally depending on moisture levels and what have you, and it's going to happen. Now, fungi is an important part of microbial ecology. And a lot of people don't even understand fungi or mushrooms because they're...
I knew a fungi once.
Yeah. Okay. You are a fungi.
Okay.
A lot of people don't understand them. Even people who study this microbiology, they're kind of an interesting being. They're like on their own level, but they help break up the soil. They help your soil live. And then there's mycorrhizae, which is a fungus that helps the root of the plant, and it helps the root of the plant grow and develop and pick up those nutrients effectively.
Now, all of these things are living things.
Yeah.
Now, you can go and buy mycorrhizae powder to sprinkle on the roots before you plant things. You have to check your sources to see, because some places will sell dead mycorrhizae, and you got to be careful of what you purchase. But you can buy things such as that to mix around the root system.
Yeah. A lot of people do that, too. Especially if you're doing a lot of like home, inside the home growing. Mm-hmm.
Where you may not have those good things going on in the soil, you would need to add something.
Yeah, for sure. Or even just a container garden.
You might
want to look into that. But just make sure you're using a reliable source, essentially. But the cool thing is that if you dig through your soil, you're going to see a lot of these things. You're probably going to see sand, but you might see like tiny little white, stringy-looking things.
If you have a pile of leaves that's been laying there for quite some time and you dig through them, you're going to see it looks like a cotton ball has exploded.
Yeah.
That's the fungi.
Right. That's exactly it. That's the fungi. And the same thing in your soil. And it's just a matter of keeping it balanced. And the biggest thing you can do to keep it balanced is to just add organic matter, whether that be leaves, coffee grounds, compost.
From a reliable source.
Right. Yeah.
Because a lot of cities have free municipal pickup of compost or a small fee to go get a truckload. However, you don't know what everybody else has thrown in that pile. When you get it from like more here in Milwaukee, Blue Ribbon Organics or your local independent garden center that has bulk material, they have a tracking source to know where everything has come from source one to the mixing process, to the distributing process, to where it's being sold at. So if there is a problem, they can go back in the chain of command and go, there's the problem. With the city, they just want your cash, basically. They want the pile gone. And this stuff is fine if you're just going to top dress around, you know, trees or shrubs. But if you're actually going to utilize this for food production, there can be harmful chemicals in this stuff. So one way to kind of figure out without actually doing a soil test on the municipality compost is try to get a sample, just an ice cream bucket full. Take it home, put 5, 6, 7, 8 bush beans in it. Bush beans will germinate in about 4 days, keep them moist, and they'll pop up. If everything on those bush beans looks normal, the leaf structure is fine, it's not curled up or disformed or anything like that, the soil is probably very, very good. If those beans sprout and they're disformed and twisted leaves and the limbs and everything's all right, there's some kind of toxicity, and that's called toxic soil or poison compost, and that can pretty much kill anything that's broadleaf that you're growing, ornamental or edible.
Right. So if you do want to go that route, the only problem is that you might get that compost sample on Monday.
On one side of the pile and the other side's bad. Yeah.
Right. So that's a little bit problematic, but it's definitely something that you could try. And I don't think the city necessarily wants your money. They probably just want the compost gone. But yeah, definitely.
I don't think most cities are doing it for the goodness of their heart to help people grow vegetables.
No, but they want the compost gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they probably get some sort of federal funding for composting.
Yeah, because they're not doing it for free.
Right. There's also nematodes, and we are going to talk about nematodes next week. There's good and bad nematodes. And nematodes are super, super tiny. They live in the roots of your plants. So they can live in the roots of your plants. So we're going to definitely talk about that next week. But that's another thing that is in your soil as well. So we have – this is all a lot of stuff. So it's definitely to keep that in mind that your soil is a living thing and there's a lot underneath your tomato plants that you don't even know about.
Be kind to it. Mulch it. Feed it. Try to not abuse it. If you need to dig the soil or till the soil, be cautious and smart on how you do such. Well, something else, there was good bugs in there and there was some bad bugs. Well, another bad bug is Japanese beetles, and it will be warming up soon and it's really starting to get warm where we're at. Maybe it's warm where you're at. And you want to soon to be able to enjoy your yard, whether by yourself or with your family or relatives, without having the beetles and grubs bothering you.
Yeah, it's time to start thinking about those beetles and grubs. There's Japanese beetles just right around the corner, and who knows what else. So Grub Gone is something that you can use.
Grub Gone can be applied directly to the turf or your garden and or around ornamentals to control grubs and lessen the impact that those beetles have on your yard this summer. Easy to use. Apply with a commercial spreader or irrigate right into the soil. Biologically, that specifically targets the grubs and the beetles that invade you without harming any of those beneficial insects such as bees, butterflies, and ladybugs.
Yep, and to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phyllombioproducts.com, phylumbioproducts.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.